The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
We'll get the important stuff out of the way first. Gaiety Theatre, 16th, 17th, 18th of October. Mario Rosenstock, Gift Grub Live. If you haven't seen him live, it's something you very much should do. Tickets available on Ticketmaster. And if you want to make a big weekend of it, you can export yourself to London in the new year see him playing there. London?
Yeah.
Ooh, look at you.
I was thinking of this last night going, what are we going to do? Like, because I love English politics and UK politics, and I keep up to abreast of it. But at the same time, a lot of Irish people are going to come and see this show in London.
Yeah.
The diaspora in the George Bernard Shaw Theatre in near Euston Station. But at the same time, I won't be able to resist doing some British stuff, because funnily enough, Irish politics, apart from Jim Gavin aside, tends to be very dull these days.
Jim has changed that for us all, hasn't he?
Jim has been the game changer, MVP.
Is there a point at which the person becomes such a self-parody that they're not worth doing? A Johnson or a Trump? Is it difficult to satirise the person who intrinsically self-satirises?
You've asked the burning question of the age of satirists.
No.
You have, yes. Everybody's talking about this.
I'm going to wrap it up at this point.
Well, you've just, Anton, you've put your foot on, you put your, your, I've barely been saying, your foot, foot on the pulse. I think that's what happened to Jim Gavin. It's a very interesting subject you raise. And that is, of course, let's just take Trump. Okay. So the idea that Trump is very hard to satirize is true, because he is, of course, the self-satirist. Second aspect of Trump is the speed with which he produces material. So typically a satirist needs to find a story, concentrate on the story, isolate it, pinpoint it, satirize it, publish it. By the time you've even looked at Trump's story, he has four more stories out there, right? And this is, of course, in adherence to Steve Bannon's credo,
flood the zone. Yep.
And flooding the zone means we're all so confused with what's out there that we can't make out one thing from the other. It's distortion. So we really don't know.
But in that way, almost some of the satire becomes flattery. You look at what some of SNL does and you think, this is pretty close to promotion, even though you're shooting for satire.
Yeah, it's promotion almost of the brashness of Trump and the audacity. So, for example, you know, the stuff that he's doing with Hegseth at the moment and just rallying crowds at Navy parties and stuff and an army thing. The army thing was disgraceful, the generals thing. I've never seen anything like it.
It was worth it for the cutaway shots, though. The stony-faced cutaways were good.
They were wonderful. But I think to answer your question, and I want to answer your question fully, because the way I've answered your question is almost self-explanatory. It needs something to be said at the end, and that is this. When Vladimir Putin came into power in the early part of the century, my friend was living in Russia, Johnny. And Johnny rang me and he went, this guy is going to change everything. And I went, why? He's going to become full-blown dictator. And I went, why? And he went, he's taken Spitting Image Russia off the telly. And it's huge, Spitting Image Russia. And I went, well, what's Spitting Image Russia? And he went, well, it's the puppets. And they have a special Putin puppet. He's a sex-craven dwarf who goes around with leather pants and studs and everything. Putin had it eliminated, had the writers fired, and it taken off. The point I'm making is, even if the satire is almost impossible to do and you feel it's almost ineffective at this stage, the fact that you're doing it and that you're able to do it, all proto-dictators hate to be laughed at. It's the one thing they hate. And that's why he's so concentrating on Jimmy Kimmel and Seth and all these people. That's the thing that gets them. And that's when he goes, I never watch it. But the bit he did in 39 minutes and 40 seconds was a disgrace. And he's watching it all the time.
But that's actually an interesting point about Irish satire then. If you look at the level of people doing what you do, I would have thought we are probably at a very low point in terms of quantity, particularly televisual quantity. There's very few people doing good satire at the moment.
So there's none.
There's you.
Well, I'm doing it on the radio. I'm doing it on the radio, and there's none, Anton, I'm disgusted by that, to be honest with you. And one of the things that disgusts me is a statement made by Kevin Backhurst not too long ago, when he said, somebody said, there's no comedy on RT at the moment. And he went, oh, well, you know, comedy, it's hit and miss. And basically that was an admission of total defeat. And I'd never heard a head of a TV station saying that before, that they actually gave up on making comedy. Satire is something that Ireland absolutely loves. We love it. And I'm not saying Oh, Jonathan Swift did A Modest Proposal. Forget that. That's brilliant, right? Flann O'Brien, brilliant. Dave Allen, brilliant, right? Hulse Pictorial Weekly, Frank Kelly. Mario Rosenstock, God forbid. Dermot Morgan. Dave McSavage's wonderful Savage Eye. Not only do we love satire and produce some very good satire, Irish audiences can't get enough of it because this is what we are. Irish people are satirical. Every Irish.
And why is TV withdrawing from it? Is it expensive putting it together?
I can only speculate, Anton.
Please do.
But because your program is one of the edgiest programs on radio, I feel I must represent you in the best way I can. And I think, Anton, I think one of the reasons they're doing it is because RTE, for example, are, in my opinion, this is just Mario talking now, so I'm not... I think they're financially compromised. I think they're owned, in a sense, by the powers that be. I think there is a quasi nod and a wink going, listen, just don't give us any trouble and we'll keep funding you into the next 15 years. I think there is a chilling effect on editors and broadcasters who go, why would we bother annoying people? Listen, you know, don't mention Palestine, will you? Don't mention Israel. Don't mention this. Don't mention Micheál Martin. Whatever you do, I have gone into meetings in RTE. Actually, this is worth saying. This is probably worth interesting. I was looking for a place to say this and this is probably the best place to say it. Patrick Keaty made a statement about free speech, which I presume you know. And I just texted my wife and I went, like laughing emojis all over the place. And I went, I've been on The Late Late Show 23 times and not once have I not been censored on The Late Late Show. I have been censored every single time on those 23 times.
How?
Basically, all comedians who go on The Late Late Show are pre-vetted. So they are asked, what are they going to say? We then go through various different, I pitch ideas, like I would as a features editor. And they go, that's fine, yeah, the stuff about Flatley, that's fine. In actual fact, I was asked once not to do something about Flatley because he was on the next week and they wanted him on the next week. And I just was there like...
Now, is that attempting to get good quality content? Is that them looking and saying, well, we think this is funny, we don't think that's funny, we think this will fit with the show, we don't think. Or is it actual censorship because they're afraid of what you might say? Because there is a line between those two things.
Two answers to your question. The answer is yes and yes. So the yes, they there are people there who go, ah, no, Mario, that bit would be better than that bit. But I always take that. I always accept that. I always listen to other people's input. There have been other bits where they go, we'd prefer if you wouldn't actually just, we don't need that. No. No, it's a no. And you're just going, okay, right. Now, I have tickets to sell. And rather than be, you know, burn my bras all over the place, my Miriam bras, right, I kind of go, I have to make a decision, which sometimes I'm a little bit, I don't know if shamed is the right word, but I'm a little bit cowed by it. And I go, right, I have a decision to make here. Do I run out into the street and shout, RTE, try to muzzle me? Or do I just go in and just get on with it and do it?
So why do because it now? Be a good, are you now burning your bra?
Why? By doing
this now, yeah.
Am I? I don't know. And if I am, really, who cares anymore? Because, like, do you know, I mean, you've got to say some things at times. And I just think that if they don't, or know that if they don't know already that this exists, well, they should know. Everybody is censored on The Late Late Show. So, did they not know that?
Is there an avenue anywhere, do you think? Is there an opportunity on Irish TV to be the old Late Late? To be the kind of thing where you know, I'm going to get called in by management for a dressing down on Saturday morning because of what I said on Friday night. It's going to upset the establishment. It's going to be something that is splashed across the papers. Is there any capacity to still do that?
I'm working on a really, really exciting project at the moment. It's in very early days and it actually concerns Gay Byrne and The Late Late Show itself. And... the old Late Late Show is quite honestly the way to go and the way it needs to go right now. And how anybody cannot see that is beyond me. Why on earth do you have to have guests? I mean, The Late Late Show, God, I mean, Patrick Keelty's a talented guy and I really like him and he's a decent man and he's been really nice to me when I've been on the show. But why would this propensity? You have to have a quota of Northern Ireland people on the show now. It doesn't even matter who they are. If they have the N word beside them, they're on, right? Okay, we've got a former Olympian. He used to be an Olympian, but he's from Northern Ireland. Welcome, please. Miggity, miggity. Right? Right? And he's like, you've never done it. Right, then the other one, they have a specific type of what you might call A and a half or B list celebrity from Britain. So it's the people that appear on Loose Women or that kind of stuff. People like, well, even this fellow would be really good, but something like Giles Brandreth. somebody who nobody in Ireland knows who he is, even though he's really nice. Would you welcome, please, the much-loved, everybody loves some Giles Brandreth.
Marian, not to be said for Giles Brandreth.
No, he's great. But Marian Offaly's going, who is Giles Brandreth? Jesus, just put on Francis Brennan. But what they really don't want is, they don't want Francis Brennan either. What they want is, they want a fireside debate and a fight. We want it, and well moderated.
Well,
they want a chat.
Believe it or not, Mario.
I think as live TV, why bother wasting your time with people like, God love him, Giles Brandreth. He'll do the same interview everywhere, right?
I actually wrote a newspaper column on this very topic recently saying very similar things. I years ago interviewed Gay when I was back in your parish, and he told the story of them copying The Tonight Show originally, using that as the format for The Late Late Show, and that because it was unsustainable to try to fill it with celebrity guests because there were none, they began to do the human interest stuff, they began to do the current affairs stuff. And I would be of your view that says that's the thing now that live TV can give. You can get the celebs anywhere. You can get them on YouTube. You can get them on podcasts. You can't get the story of the week with interesting people torn up in an interesting way.
Correct. But when will they learn? Right. I've seen Late Late Shows, right, where they have Will Ferrell, Tom Cruise, Pierce Brosnan, Colin Farrell on the same show. The ratings come out next week. 303,000. Disappointing performance. We thought Will Ferrell would put us over the top, but he didn't. I'll tell you what would put you over the top. If you actually listened to the people and made television, rather than having the country music special, the same one as last year.
Don't knock the country music special. A lot to be said
for
the country
music. Just because you're wearing a country music and you're a serial killer.
I want to talk to you about something else, which is your productivity. I noticed recently, and I think it was Carl Spain was telling me, I was asking him about what comedians are uploading to YouTube. And they all upload crowd work. They all upload hecklers and crowd work.
They do.
Because it doesn't burn content. They're not putting up their jokes.
Okay.
It's stuff. That's what he says. He says, if you look at Jimmy Carr, all of his stuff is crowd work. Because that's it.
A very good crowd work I always repost is, and I love championing Irish comedians at any time I can, who are brilliant, by the way. And we could be, who are your influences? Monty Python and Jan Cleese. No, we love each other. We're some fantastic comedians in this country. Neil Delamere's crowd work, amazing.
Oh, stop. He's brilliant.
Isn't he?
Brilliant. Genius.
Now, that's genuine.
And so fast. So fast.
Really fast.
But you have to burn your content every day.
I do.
Like every day. Yeah. That's it. That's done. Can't use it again. Any comedian with the amount of content that you do in about 3 weeks will get 10 years out of it.
Oh, well.
Do you not have to, going home thinking, I have to do it more, I have to do it again,
yeah.
I have to do it again,
yeah.
I have to do it again, for 25 years,
yeah.
Mario.
So I told this story, I've been telling this story a little bit, and it was, I suppose when you're my age now, you start to reflect a little bit, and you put your head above water a bit, and kind of look around and go, what's this been all about? And I do remember, actually, in the early days of Gift Grub, I did a very good sketch. It was just regarded as one where kind of it broke through the thing, and we had loads of texts, and people were kind of going, what happened there? That was amazing. Something happened. I won't even say what it was, but the fact was then that I was really elated, and I came in the morning, and we had a chat with Ian, and Ian went, so what's for tomorrow? And it just hit me like a really hard, and I actually started shaking, and I actually had to go out, and I started crying. And the reason I started crying was I had what you might describe as a mini panic attack. I don't think it's a panic attack. I think people who have panic attacks, it's a serious business. I had a little bit of a nervous, overcome with emotion and kind of thing. What? I can't summon that kind of energy tomorrow. So I took the week off and I went home and I just chilled out for the week and I just kind of got my head together. And gradually over, I'd say, a period of months, what I would now reflect on, I rewired my brain completely. I rewired my hard drive. I changed the server in my brain totally. From a person who is a performer and could perform the odd good sketch into a person who is going to repetitively and repeatedly do this nonstop all the time and will have an appetite to do so. So basically, I had to come up with a method that no matter what was going on in my notes, I would have 10 ideas or 8 ideas ready to go. And that now that becomes your phone, now your mobile phone, that there are 10 ideas ready to go. And how do you have 10 ideas ready to go? Well, basically, you are thinking of ideas the whole time. That means when you're on the bus or you're on the Lewis or you're on the train, or you're talking with somebody or having an interview, you're rewiring your brain to notice things that might contribute to a sketch sometime. Your brain is constantly, I lopsided my brain. I changed it from being a whatever it was into being what it is now. And that is someone who is just constantly coming up with sketches. So all the time, I'm coming up with sketches. And when I'm coming up with sketches all the time, I can sleep totally peacefully at night because they're all in there. They're all on the notes and in the phone. And so that means you can relax and go. Some people would say to me, do you sleep at night? And I went, perfectly. Because I'm delighted to get up the next morning. And
so that means probably then that for every one that makes it to air, there are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8 that just sit on the phone.
I would say now they're not, I wouldn't overplay my hand there. They're not works of Picasso-like genius that I signed something.
but there's something Dali, there.
A rare Mario Rosenstock doodle sold for 850 grand. It's not that, Anton. But what it is it's the kernel of an idea.
Finally, before you go, you've put your keys. I was going to say your car keys on the desk, but this is the issue. I don't see a car key on that key ring. I thought you were learning to drive.
I am, and I've done 16 lessons.
Why is there not a car key on that key ring?
Because I've got my test coming up in December.
Have you?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to pass?
Do you know I do? Because I'm...
The independence. You're like a grown-up now, man.
Well, I'm either going to pass or I will become the Jim Gavin of driving.
I'm not doing this.
I'm fully confident here. And then 2 weeks before it, I'd like to announce that I'm dropping out of my driving test in Pottery Road, Dunleary.
If you want to see Mario live, he is in the Gaiety Theatre, 16th, 17th, 18th of October. And if you fancy throwing yourself on a flight to go over in London, he is going to be in the George Bernard Shaw Theatre, just near Houston on February-ish?
7th.
7th, yep. February 7th. Mario, always a pleasure and a joy.
Thanks.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Need a reason to smile? Comfort Dental has you covered with new patient exams, including x-rays, for just $19. That's right, only $19 to get started on a healthier, brighter smile. With convenient locations, flexible hours, including evenings and Saturdays, and a team that truly cares, Comfort Dental makes dental care easy and affordable. No gimmicks, no stress, just quality care when you need it. Get comfortable with Comfort Dental. Call or visit ComfortDental.com today.